And yeah, I told David yesterday that Cindy couldn't make it today, so she won't be here. So it's just me. But I'm happy to be here. I've done Pal Talk, you know, a few times before, and it's always fun. And I was just talking with Lynn Johnson, and she's always a sweetheart, and she's always very good to me. And it's great to be here. So I'm here to talk about my third book, which is called Love Has Forgotten No One. And it's a very exciting book for me. And it was also a very difficult book, because it was very difficult to write because of all the things that were happening in my life. You'll notice at the beginning of the book that I'm living in Maine, and I'm married to a woman named Karen. And by the end of the book, I'm living in California, and I'm married to Cindy. So it's been a pretty wild ride, and it's a pretty wild book. There are a lot of very interesting experiences, some pretty amazing mystical-type experiences that happened to me in the book, as you'll see. I know some of you have read it. I'm sure that some more of you will. And you know, it's just like a roller coaster ride. You know, it's really crazy. And it's the third book of a trilogy. You know, there's The Disappearance of the Universe, and I'm calling this The Disappearance of the Universe trilogy. The second book is Your Immortal Reality. And the third book, of course, is Love Has Forgotten No One. And the reason that it's really a trilogy is because it kind of completes the story of Artin and Persa. And there are, you know, several lifetimes that have been covered in the three books, going back to 2,000 years ago. Certainly Thomas and Thaddeus, at the time of Jesus, two disciples of Jesus, were in fact the kind of like pre-carnations, if you will, of Persa and Artin. And then you have Cindy and I in this lifetime. And by the way, when I talk about lifetimes, I'm really talking about dreams. You know, I'm talking about serial dreams. And the reason that that's so is because we never actually incarnate into a body. It just looks that way. And it's kind of like a trick. You know, it's an optical illusion. Or the way that Albert Einstein described it, it's kind of like an optical delusion of consciousness. You know, it looks like we're in a body. And it feels that way too, but that's an optical illusion. It's a trick of the ego. It's a trick of separation, which is what the ego is based on. So at one point, the Course in Miracles says that the body is the thought of separation given form. You know, so you have this idea of separation, and it kind of like appears to manifest itself as separate bodies. And the body, as the Course says in that great section called The Hero of the Dream, says the body is the central figure in the dream. So it's kind of like we've been tricked into thinking that we are individuals. You know, we think that we are individual people, and because the whole thing is based on the idea of separation, we believe that we've taken on this individual identity and this personal existence that is somehow separate from each other and also separate from our source, which is God. So it looks like we're bodies, it feels like we're bodies, and we're not, because we're never actually in a body. In fact, the body itself is simply a part of the same projection as everything else that we're seeing. So we seem to look out with the body's eyes, and we're not. We're actually seeing with the mind, and it's always the mind that sees and never the body. In fact, at one point, the Course says that you are reviewing mentally that which has already gone by. And so it's very much like watching a movie. It's like the movie has already been filmed, and you're watching it with the mind, and your experience is a false experience because you think that what you're seeing is really happening right now, and that it's linear, and that you're making it up as you go along. And the truth is, the whole movie has already been filmed, and it's already there. It's kind of like what the Course says, the script is written. And, of course, it says more than that. It says, the script is written, those who are to meet shall meet, because together they have the potential for a holy relationship. So whenever you meet somebody, there's the potential there to have that relationship be a holy relationship. And the way that a relationship becomes holy with the Course is through forgiveness. In fact, there are a couple of things in the Course I want to mention that are covered in the books, because at one point there's that beautiful workbook lesson, which is workbook lesson number 169, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit looked back from the end time and saw everything that time held, and then decided with you from the point where time was ended when it would be the best time for you within the overall scheme of things to awaken. So even the time that you're going to wake up, the time that you're going to be enlightened has already been determined. And, it looks like we're making it up as we go along because we're having a linear experience. And I'm not here to say that it's not our experience that we're bodies. And I'm not here to say that it's not our experience that this is a linear experience. I'm just here to say that it's a false experience, that it's not true, that the experience of being in a body is not true. The experience that we're making this up as we go along is not true either, but because we're having a linear experience, then that brings up a paradox. And in that workbook lesson, the paradox of time is revealed, and the paradox is this. Yes, it's already happened, but you still got to do it. So that's a paradox indeed, because one of those experiences is holographic and the other experience is linear. So we still have to practice forgiveness. We still have to do our part. And the Course also talks about an interlocking chain of forgiveness. So it's like my forgiveness is connected to your forgiveness, and your forgiveness is connected to everybody else's forgiveness. But we can't see it, because we don't see everything. The Holy Spirit can see everything. In fact, the Holy Spirit can see everything that ever happened from the beginning of time to the end of time. So the Holy Spirit was able to devise a plan where all of our forgiveness is connected, and eventually it will result in the full awakening of the sonship. So everybody will awaken when they're supposed to. But we don't see how all that forgiveness is connected, because we can't see everything the way that the Holy Spirit can. So our job in this whole, scheme of things is to simply to do our part. That's why the Course says that the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. And it also says that the means of the atonement is forgiveness. So what that means is that your only responsibility in this whole thing is to practice forgiveness on any given day with the situations and events and relationships that you find yourself in that are right there in front of your face. And that's all you've got to do. You don't have to save the world. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit will do that not in the world, but in the mind. Because you've really got two scripts. You've got the ego script. And the ego script is simply what happens. If something happens, that's the ego script. Then there's another script. And that's the Holy Spirit script. And the Holy Spirit script is simply a different way of looking at it, with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. So it's like you're in a movie theater and you're watching a movie, and you've got the Holy Spirit sitting on one side of you, and you've got the ego sitting on the other side of you, and your job is to choose. You know, your job is to choose, well, what voice am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit's interpretation of what I'm seeing, or am I going to listen to the ego's interpretation of what I'm seeing? And in that choice lies everything, because it will not only determine how you feel about yourself, but ultimately even what you identify yourself to be. So what Art and Persa did for me in the third book was, first of all, they completed those stories of Thomas and Thaddeus and connected those stories to the story of Cindy and me. And it turns out that Cindy, you know, was Thaddeus 2,000 years ago, and I was Thomas. And in the third book, you'll see that I even got to speak to, you know, Thomas and Thaddeus. You know, they both appeared to me, and I had to, you know, have these, you know, wanted to have these conversations with them where they explained to me, you know, some of the lessons that they had 2,000 years ago, and how those lessons are connected to the lifetimes of Cindy and I in this lifetime. And then they went on and connected those different lifetimes to the lifetimes of Arden and Persa, which actually took place in our future. Arden and Persa lived 100 years from now in Chicago, and their story is completed. You know, you've gotten bits and pieces of it before in the first two books, but in the third book, you know, it's like they complete the whole story, and they show how everything is connected and how, you know, some of the lessons that Cindy and I have in this lifetime were connected to Thomas and Thaddeus, and then how the final lessons of Arden and Persa were connected to the lifetimes of Cindy and I, and how it's a continuum. Now, A Course in Miracles says that trials are but lessons presented once again. So the way you made a faulty choice before, now you can make a better one, and thus escape all the pain that your previous decision has brought to you. And that is not only true within one dream lifetime. It continues from lifetime to lifetime, in the sense that if you don't complete your forgiveness lessons, if you don't learn your forgiveness lessons in this lifetime, then you're going to get another chance. Because until you complete that lesson, it will be continued to be presented to you. And it may look like a different form, because different time period is different, but the meaning of it will be exactly the same. You know, there's no difference in the meaning. If you don't complete a forgiveness lesson in this lifetime, it will present itself in another lifetime, and you'll have to go through the same thing again. It may look a little different, but the meaning will be exactly the same, and the experience will be the same. So that's why I try to tell people, look, you know, don't wait to practice forgiveness. You know, don't wait until next year. Don't worry until your next lifetime. You know, do it now. And if you do it now, then you'll be happy that you did, because it changes everything. You know, there's a great section in the Course called The Song of Prayer. And one of the things that it says is that even your experience of death will be different if you practice forgiveness in this lifetime. If you take those relationships and turn them into holy relationships with your forgiveness, then even your experience of death will be, the way the Course describes it, as a higher realm. It's a better experience of death. It says, if there has been real healing, and by definition, if you're practicing forgiveness with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is performing, you know, some kind of a healing every single time that you do it. When you forgive what's right there in front of your face, then the Holy Spirit takes that forgiveness and uses it. You know, the Holy Spirit will shine your forgiveness everywhere. There's always some kind of a healing going on when you practice forgiveness, which is why, the Course says that a miracle, which is the Course's kind of forgiveness, where you're coming from a place of cause and not effect. And what I mean by that is that you understand that the world is not being done to you. It's not coming at you, not really. That's a trick, too. Which is why the Course says that the thinking of the world must be reversed. Because the world isn't being done to you, it's being done by you. It's not coming at you, it's coming from you. And the reason that forgiveness is justified is because you're not forgiving people because they've really done something. You're forgiving people because they haven't really done anything, because you're the one who made them up in the first place. They are just a part of the same projection that I was talking about earlier. Your body is a part of that same projection. And so are they, and so is the entire universe of time and space. And that's why the Course says there is no world, which means there isn't really a universe of time and space. Not really. There's just a projection of a universe of time and space. And that projection is coming from a place that you can't see, but that projector of the movie is actually hidden in your own unconscious mind. Because if you get down deep enough into the level of the mind, there's really just one mind. Because there's really just one of us. There's just one ego appearing as many. And you're it. It's not somebody else. There isn't anybody else. So it's kind of like you're playing a video game, and you're the only one in the room. There isn't anybody else. And the people in the video game may appear to be trying to hurt you. They may be shooting at you. But the truth is they can't hurt you because they're really just a projection that is coming from you. It's like they're shooting blanks. And there's no need for you to be afraid of them because you're not a body. And what you really are cannot be hurt and cannot be killed. What you really are is something that is immortal, and it's invulnerable. It's something that can't be touched by anything in this world. It's something that can't be threatened by anything in this world. So when the Course starts off by saying nothing real can be threatened, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the real you, which is spirit. But when the Course uses the word spirit, it says spirit is not a partial attribute. So you have to realize that spirit, real spirit, not the separate kind of spirit that people think of as an individual soul, but real spirit is something that is total. It's something that is not just part of it, it's something that is all of it. Exactly the same as its source, exactly the same as God, which is why the Course says that the full awareness of the atonement is that the separation never occurred. It never happened, not really, which means that you're still home. You're still home in God. The way the Course puts it is it says you are at home in God, dreaming of exile, but perfectly capable of awakening to reality. So you could say that the Course, takes the ancient idea that the world is an illusion to a whole new level, because it's saying that this illusion is really a dream. And it's a dream that you will awaken from. And it's that awakening that is enlightenment. And that's what Buddha was talking about when he said, I am awake. He meant that he had awakened from the dream of time and space and realized that the dream was not being done to him, but that he was the maker of the dream. He was no longer the dream. And he was no longer in the dream. He was the dreamer. And the Course also says that all your time is spent in dreaming. And it dreams, that, I should say, the ego dreams that it's born. So you dream that you're born into a body. You dream that you have this strange life. And you dream that you die. And then there's that in-between period, in-between lives, where you don't appear to be in a body, but it's still a separate kind of an existence. And then you dream that you're born again, and all your time is spent in dreaming until you wake up. And then when you wake up, you realize that you were never in the dream and that the dream never existed. You know, it was just an illusion of the ego. Because there is something we don't know about the ego. The ego likes this idea of separation. The ego wants to keep it going because it feels important. You know, it feels important to have a body and to have relationships and to have a universe of time and space to play in. It feels important to have accomplishments and goals and dreams. You know, so it feels special. The ego wants to keep that specialness going. And the way that it keeps it going, making it real, which brings up one of the things that Arden really emphasized to me in the third book, is don't make it real. You know, if there's a mantra that could go along with the third book, it would be simply, don't make it real. You know, don't make the error real. One of the ways that the Course puts that is it says very clearly, you know, it says, instead of giving truth to our illusions, what we really need to do is give our illusions to the truth. You know, so we need to reinterpret our illusions and release them to the Holy Spirit. And instead of making it real, then we can get to the point where it doesn't affect us. And one of the ways that the Course says that is that it denies the ability of anything not of God to affect you. You know, so you've got a choice where the Holy Spirit is saying, don't make it real. And then you've got the ego, which is based on the idea of separation. And the ego is saying, oh, yeah, you got to make it real. I mean, you know, this is very serious. And there's people out there that can really hurt you, and you better take care of this. And you're making it real, and so it can affect you. I'll give you an example. Let's say that I'm on the Internet, and there's somebody there that's trying to hurt me, trying to say bad things about me. And that's been, of course, a regular occurrence for the last 11 years. Although the overwhelming majority of people in the Course community have supported me, there's always been that 15% or so that's all trying to cause trouble. Now, if I start to feel the slightest bit upset about that, right, if I start to feel the slightest bit annoyed, then guess what? I must be making it real. If I'm the slightest bit upset, I must be making it real, because if I wasn't making it real, I wouldn't be upset. You know, so the two go hand in hand. You know, you can't get upset unless you're making it real. And what the Course is saying and what the Holy Spirit is saying to you all the time is, look, you've been, you know, making it real. You know, that's why it can affect you. So there are steps to forgive that Arden person made very clear. The first step is that if you notice yourself getting the slightest bit upset about anything, then that's the ego. You know, you must be thinking with the ego, and you have to watch yourself. You know, you have to monitor yourself, not just the way that you think, but you also have to monitor the way that you feel. Because if you're starting to feel annoyed or upset, that's the ego. Because you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that to you. You know, so you must be thinking with the ego. And the first step in this kind of forgiveness, which is not the kind of forgiveness that the world normally thinks about, if they think about forgiveness at all, which they usually don't. But this is a different kind of forgiveness. And the first step in this kind of forgiveness is that stop thinking with the ego. That's the fact. If you take the first step, catch yourself and stop thinking with the ego, then you can take the second step. And the second step is you got to start thinking with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a totally different story about what's going on here. You know, the Holy Spirit will say, look, you've been making it real. That's why you're upset. Now you can start thinking with me instead of the ego. And I'm telling you, it's not real. It's just a projection that is coming from you. You know, yeah, you couldn't see where the camera was hitting because it's, you know, it's kind of like, when you're in a movie theater, you don't think about the projector. You know, your attention has been diverted to the screen. And so you forget that it's not real. And you start to make it real. You have to believe in it. And it's our belief that makes it real. You know, the power of our belief is strongly emphasized in the Course. In fact, the Course says, you who made the ego by believing the unbelievable can choose once again. So you got to understand the power that your belief has. And what we need to do is we need to withdraw our power from the dream back to our mind and change our mind about it. You know, so we've been given power to the illusion. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take that power back and we're going to put that belief where it belongs. And where that belief belongs is with God and His kingdom, which is why the Course says, be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. You know, so now you're going to put your belief where belief is deserved, where it should be. And by thinking with the Holy Spirit, now you're thinking right-minded thoughts. And you're thinking, look, I was making it real. Now I understand that it's not real, that this is my dream. The dream is not being dreamed by somebody else. There's nobody out there. This is my projection. And now I can forgive people because nothing has happened. Because even though events in a dream may appear to happen, they don't really happen. And where is a dream? Wake up. The dream disappears, which is why the first book was Disappearance of the Universe. Because the dream appears to be there, but it isn't really there. It's kind of like a mirage. It's kind of like a spell that we have put ourselves under, giving it power with our belief. And there are several times when the Course uses the word dispel. You know, now we're dispelling the dream by believing in the Holy Spirit instead and believing in what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the Holy Spirit is saying, be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. So what you do is you stop believing in the dream. You stop giving it power. You stop making it real. And you start to engage in one of the other things that Arden and Persa really emphasize in the third book, and that is spiritual sight. Spiritual sight, and what the Course also describes as simply vision, is the essence of the third step in forgiveness. Because now what you're going to do is, because you're not making the body real, what you're seeing are not real, which means that your body is not real either. As the Course has us say over and over again, I am not a body, I am free. For I am still as God created me. So now I'm going to stop making the whole thing real, and I'm going to think out of the box. You know, now I'm going to think with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit engages in spiritual sight. You know, the ego thinks in terms of differences. The ego thinks in terms of separation. The Holy Spirit doesn't acknowledge differences. The way the Course puts it is it says, everywhere the Holy Spirit looks, He sees Himself. You know, so what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit overlooks the body. You know, the Holy Spirit thinks just beyond the box. The Holy Spirit looks beyond the veil. Now it's thinking beyond the body. And it's thinking that what you thought was a body is not a body at all, but it is something that is not separated from its source. It's not something that is separate from you. It's something that is not just part of it. As we said earlier, it's something all of it. It would be the same as the Course's definition of heaven, which is the awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else. You know, nothing else outside this oneness, nothing else within. You know, there's just perfect oneness. And that's the way that the Holy Spirit thinks. And if you want to return to spirit and experience your perfect oneness with God and eventually have that as your reality instead of separation, then you want to think with the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't want to think with the ego. You want to think with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not think in terms of making it real, but the ego does think in terms of making it real. And obviously one of the most important ways that the ego does this is with judgment. Now, that's why the ego loves differences. You know, how can you have judgment without differences? And remember, we said earlier that the ego likes this idea of separation, that the ego wants to keep it going. You know, so the ego is trying to get you to make it real and think in terms of differences and to judge it. And if you're judging it, not only are you making it real, but you're also giving it the power of your belief, which is like a vicious cycle because it makes it even more real in your mind. And because of the way that the mind works, and this is very important because, you know, A Course in Miracles understands, you know, how the mind works. And most spiritualities and most spiritual students do not understand, you know, how the mind works. I've already said that, you know, if you get down deep enough into the mind, there's really just one of us. Well, that's just part of the story. The other part of the story is that because there's really just one of us, your unconscious mind knows that. You know, if you get down deep enough into the mind, your unconscious mind knows that there's really just one of us. You know, that there's really just one ego appearing as many. Now, that's good news and it's bad news. The reason that it's good news is because you can take that information and you can learn how to use it, which is what the Course, and especially the workbook of the Course, you know, trains our minds to do. You know, it, you know, trains our mind to think along the lines of the Holy Spirit and to think with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, because of that, you can learn how to use your conscious mind, which you can see. You know, you can't see your unconscious mind, but you can see your conscious mind. And you can learn how to use that mind to think with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you can return to Spirit in your reality. So, you can learn how to use it. But the bad news is, because most people have not been using it their whole lives, they have to realize that because there's really just one of us, and because your unconscious mind knows that, it will interpret anything that you think about another person to really be about you. Because there's really just one of us. Your unconscious mind is going to interpret anything that you think or say about anybody else to really be a message from you to you about you. And that's why the Course articulates what I think is a very important law of the mind. It says very specifically, as you see him, you will see yourself. And it must be pretty important, because then the Course says, never forget this. You know, in that person, you will either find yourself or lose yourself. You know, so it's like there are a lot of people out there every day who are losing themselves. And they don't understand that it's because whatever they think is really just going to them. And it's not going to anybody else because there isn't anybody else. Now, the great thing about that is that you can use that to completely change the way that you feel about yourself. You know, people have no idea how good they could feel. But if they could harness the power of their mind and the power of their belief, then not only could they completely change the way that they feel about themselves, they also change their own identity as they will see it and believe that it is. So the way the Course puts it in that great final section of the text, it says, choose once again what you would have him be, knowing that every decision you make will determine your own identity as you will see it and believe that it is. So, if you're thinking that they're a body and that they really did it and that they're guilty, your unconscious mind is going to interpret that to mean that you are a body and that you really did it and that everything you think you ever did really happened and that you're guilty. You know, there's no getting away from that. If they're guilty, you're guilty. If they're a body, you're a body. But if you think with the Holy Spirit and think, okay, that person, even if they think they're a body, I know better. I can think beyond the body. I can be having a normal conversation with someone, and at the same time, I can think beyond the illusion. I can look just past the veil, and I can realize that what they really are is this perfect spirit, which is exactly the same as God. And if I think that way long enough and often enough, then I cannot help but experience myself that way. Because it's true what the Course says. As you see Him, you will see yourself. So now you have the power to determine your own identity. Are you a body, which would make the idea of separation real? Or are you spirit, which does not make the idea of separation real, but instead acknowledges God and perfect oneness? And if you're thinking like the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be going home to God. Because another thing that the Course says is that the direction of the mind is by the thought system to which it adheres. You know, saying that the direction of the mind is automatic. So you don't have to worry about whether or not this works. All you have to do is do it. You know, at the introduction to the workbook, the Course says, you know, it's doing the ideas that will show you that they are true. If you do it, then you literally have to be going in the right direction. If you are thinking minded thoughts with the Holy Spirit and practicing forgiveness, then you literally have to be going home to God. It has to work. You know, you couldn't screw it up if you tried. I know, because I've tried. And if you're doing this, it has to work. And if you're not doing it, if you're not practicing forgiveness, if you're not accepting your soul responsibility, then you're just spinning your wheels. You know, you just stay stuck here. Now, it doesn't mean that you're more guilty or anything. It just means that you're spinning your wheels. It just means that you're not getting anywhere, that you're not going in the right direction. And you'll just keep coming back here over and over again, or I should say appearing to come back here over and over again. Because the reason that you keep coming back here is because there's guilt in the mind that we're not even aware of, because it's unconscious. Yeah, some people feel guilt, but that's just the conscious tip of the iceberg. You know, there's this unconscious guilt that people don't see, and that unconscious guilt can be traced all the way back to the original idea of being separate from God. And that's what we're really upset about, is the separation. And that's why the Course says that I am never upset for the reason I think. You know, so people think that they're upset for different reasons that they ascribe to the screen. Oh, so I think I'm upset because I'm not going to have enough money for my retirement or something like that. And that's not really why you're upset at all. And I used to worry about that a long time ago, when just before I started doing the Course. I've been doing the Course for 21 years. And I remember before that, I used to worry a lot, you know, even about my retirement, which was hypothetically, you know, at least 25 years in the future. And here I am worrying about it. You know, and I used to worry so much that I didn't even know that I was worrying. I just thought that it was normal. And I don't worry about it today. In fact, I have a new retirement plan now. I'm never going to retire. You know, that's my new retirement plan. So now I don't have to worry about it. And there's no reason to be worried about the world unless you're making it real. And there's no reason to feel scarcity either. You know, there's a tremendous feeling of scarcity in the world today. I've been all over the world talking about the Course. You know, just spent a couple of weeks in Japan, and then we were just in Boston, and we're going to Germany on Tuesday. And I've noticed that wherever I go, and I've been traveling about 10 years, 10 and a half years to talk about the Course, and you always find this feeling of scarcity among people, this feeling of lack. And they think that they're feeling lack because they don't have enough money or enough things in the world. But that's not the real reason that they're feeling the lack. The way the Course puts it, it says a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need correct. And so if you could correct that, if you could start to really undo that idea of separation from God, then you would never feel lack. You would never feel scarcity. You know, you'd always feel abundant. You'd always feel like you were taken care of. You'd always feel like you had enough because now you're coming from a state of wholeness. And when you're in a state of wholeness, you already have everything. You know, so you don't need anything. So the way the Course puts it is, it says that Christ needs nothing and wants to join with others out of a mutual awareness of abundance. So if you're coming from a place of wholeness and oneness like the Holy Spirit, then you don't need anything. You feel completely abundant. You don't have to get anything from anybody because you're already taken care of. And now you can have an authentic relationship with people. Now you can have a holy relationship with people because you're coming from that place of forgiveness that leads to a holy relationship. So, you know, it's like, you know, Cindy and I, we practice forgiveness, and fortunately we don't seem to have a lot of things to forgive when it comes to each other. And our story is really told in detail in the third book. But you'll notice that no matter what we talk about in the books, no matter what Art and Purser and I talk about in the books, sooner or later they always bring the conversation, you know, back around to forgiveness, because that's the great teaching aid of the Holy Spirit. That is the miracle in A Course in Miracles, because that's what undoes the ego. And the Course says very plainly that salvation is undoing. You know, if you undo the false you based on separation, which is the ego, then eventually the real you will be all that's left. And you don't have to worry about the real you. You know, the real you is already perfect. You know, the real you is already exactly the same as your source, which is God. And you don't have to do anything about that. All you have to do is undo the false you. That's your job, and that's why forgiveness is the sole responsibility of the miracle worker. Because if you do that, the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. The Holy Spirit is always performing some kind of a healing, which is why the Course says that a miracle is never lost. You know, it can have undreamed of effects in situations of which you are not even aware. You know, so you may not always be able to see the healing, but the Holy Spirit is performing a healing somewhere every single time. You know, that's why a miracle is lost. And the Holy Spirit could be taking that forgiveness and performing a healing any place, any of your past lifetimes, any future dream lifetimes that you may have, any parallel universes that may exist, and any dimension of time. You know, we know that this isn't the only dimension of time that there is, because the Course says right in those first 50 miracles principles that the miracle works in all the dimensions of time. You know, so it's like there's a lot more going on than we can see. You know, we just see this little speck of time and space that appears to be right in front of our face. So we don't see everything. But we can have it healed by working with the Holy Spirit and by doing our part of the job. And our part of the job is simply forgiveness. And if we do it, well, for starters, it'll change our experience. You know, you don't have to wait a long time to be peaceful. You can start to become more peaceful, you know, pretty quickly. You know, even a month or two, you can start to become, you know, much more peaceful. And as far as awakening goes, well, if you do this, then eventually you will awaken in God. And when you wake up, your experience becomes the permanent experience of heaven. Now, it's possible to experience what that's like even while you appear to be here, which is why I say that the Course is a lot more experiential than people realize. You know, at first it looks very intellectual. You know, it looks like it's very important, has a 500,000 words, you know, all this Shakespearean blank verse, you know, quotes over 800 times from the King James Version of the Bible. You know, looks very serious and very important. But what happens is you start to realize after a while that there's this experience that the direct word, and it's possible to have that experience. There is a great place in the workbook of the course where Jesus is talking about all of these questions that we have, all these heavy-duty questions. And he says something very interesting. He says, there is no answer, only an experience. Seek only this, and do not let theology delay you. And what he's saying there is that the answer to all of our difficult questions in life is going to come to us not in the form of words, but in the form of an experience of what you really are and where you really are. And it's this experience that the Course is directed toward. And it's possible for you to have that experience, which is the great mystical experience that the masters of history have talked about, where you actually have a connection with your source, which is God. You actually have an experience of your perfect oneness with God. And that experience blows away anything that this world has to offer. There's nothing in this world that can compare with that. And once you have that experience, and you know that that's going to be your permanent experience eventually, it really motivates you even more to practice forgiveness, because you realize, wow, you know, if it's going to be like that, give me some more of that. You know, I'll take that. You know, and it really is amazing. And it also has a very sexual aspect to it. You know, at one point, the Course talks about your experience with God and says that your experience of God is intensely personal. It says that it involves the kind of closeness that is sometimes sought after in physical relationships. But physical closeness cannot achieve it, because true union is only possible at the level of the mind. So the Course is saying that you can experience that perfect oneness with God, and you know, I can say that that experience is, you know, kind of like, you know, a perfect example, you know, of you know, the fact that you can, you know, have that experience of your closeness with God. So what does that, you know, what facilitates that experience is the kind of forgiveness that I've been talking about. So I mentioned that no matter what Art and Person and I talk about in the book, sooner or later, they always bring the conversation back around to forgiveness, and they gave me some pretty wild experiences in the third book. There's one experience where they went on a little trip around the universe. You know, and I saw all this incredible stuff, and even got to go aboard a Palladian starship and met a couple of the Palladians. And, you know, it was really an intense experience. And at the end of the experience, they kind of like took me to Chicago, and I see that it's like there's this woman in this hospital giving birth. And I asked Persa, who's that? And, you know, it's like she said, well, that's our mother. And that's you being born into your next lifetime as me. You know, these are the kind of incredible experiences that I had during this third book. And I mentioned it was a difficult book because there was so much, you know, that I had to forgive in that 7 years. You know, for example, I went through a 2.5-year tax audit with the Internal Revenue Service. You know, I joke, you know, just when you think you've forgiven everything, the IRS shows up. But, you know, my books and the third book, Love Has Forgotten No One, they're not really about the things that we talk about. You know, we talk about 9/11. Well, the book's not really about 9/11. It's not really about that we had, like with the Internal Revenue Service, or going through the divorce with Karen, which is all very clearly described in the third book. What it's really about is forgiveness and doing the course. And I think one of the reasons that people like the books is because they show, you know, a guy just trying to practice forgiveness, you know, just trying to apply this to the situations and events in his life. And I'm not always perfect at it. And you don't have to be perfect at it. You just have to persevere. If you have that quality of perseverance, then eventually the Holy Spirit will come to dominate your mind instead of the ego. And that's where you become enlightened. You know, you don't become enlightened because of what you know. It's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. And you got to do it. It's your spiritual practice that will get you to where you're going. And if you actually practice forgiveness, if you actually do it, then you will get to the goal. You will achieve the goal of A Course in Miracles. And if you don't do it, well, as I said earlier, you're just kind of spinning your wheels. And it's worth doing. Even if it was just making you feel better, that would be a good enough reason to do it. But it's much more than that, because you are actually awakening in God as you go along. It's kind of like you're graduating from the experience of being a body to the experience of being spirit, which is a higher life form. You know, it's kind of like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's like a butterfly is a higher life form than being a caterpillar. And a caterpillar doesn't become a butterfly overnight. You know, it goes through a process. It goes through a cocoon process. And it's like a metamorphosis into a higher life form. And that's what's happening with us. We are actually, you know, going gradually to a higher life form. And we are going through a metamorphosis. And what facilitates that metamorphosis in us is forgiveness. So, yeah, I believe, you know, all these things that the ego has taught us, you know, for eons. And it's like we're totally changing now to thinking with the Holy Spirit. That takes work. You know, that's why it's called a workbook. You know, because A Course in Miracles is not the easiest spiritual path that you could undertake. But it is worth doing. And I think that even though the Course does not claim to be a special thing, you know, it doesn't claim to be the only way to get home to God, I do think it's fair to say that it claims to be a fast way, that it claims to be something that will save you a great deal of time. You know, it says the miracle, which once again is forgiveness, can substitute for learning that may have taken thousands of years. So obviously the Course is talking about saving, you know, countless dream lifetimes that you will not have to go through again because you learned your lessons. And you don't have to keep going through those same lessons over and over again. Yeah, trials are but lessons presented once again. So that where you made a faulty choice before, now you can make a better one and thus escape all the pain that your previous decision has brought to you. But if you do that, if you do learn the lesson, then the Holy Spirit does this little thing that they describe right near the beginning of the text. The Holy Spirit will collapse time for you. You know, so it's like the Holy Spirit is taking care of the big part of the job that you can't see. In fact, at one point in the Course, Jesus says, I'm in charge of time and space. So the Holy Spirit will make an adjustment for you. You know, if you do your job, the Holy Spirit will do the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit's job is to get you through time much, much faster than you would have if you do your part of the job, which is always going to come back around to forgiveness. Now, the reason that it's so important to keep emphasizing these things, including the steps to forgiveness, which is, you know, you got to stop thinking with the ego. You got to watch yourself and stop thinking with the ego. Then you can start thinking with the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do both at once. You know, you can't think with the ego and the Holy Spirit both at the same time. It's not possible because they represent two complete and mutually exclusive thought systems. So you got to choose. You know, and that choice is where your power is. In fact, it's the only power that you have. You know, the Buddha says that the power of decision is your one remaining power as a prisoner of this world. You know, you can decide to see it right. You can decide to see it with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. And if you do that, it changes everything. And it's a better quality of life, and it will lead to a higher life form. And there's an irony here, and the irony is that the Course does not ask you to give up anything. You know, this is not a course about sacrifice. In fact, there's a section in the Course that's called the end of sacrifice. And you can still have your life. You know, you can still have your relationships. The only difference is that you're looking at them differently. You know, now you're looking at them with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. You know, so it's like, you know, Cindy and I love each other. And we practice forgiveness, which is a good thing, because we spend 24 hours a day together. You know, like together, we work together, we travel together. I mean, you know, if we didn't know how to forgive, I don't know how long that would continue. But because we're able to forgive, then we can turn our relationship into a holy relationship. It's like, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, who were married to each other, they loved each other. And what made them different than most people is that at the end of the day, they knew who the other person really was. You know, always remember that the Course says, as you see him, you will see yourself. You know, so it's like by thinking of the other person as being what they really are, which is this perfect spirit, then that's the third step in forgiveness. So obviously you're doing forgiveness. And the Course says that the holy relationship is the forgiven relationship. You know, so it's like you're thinking of that person as they really are. They're the body. And I'm not saying that you won't love their body. I'm just saying that at some point you remember the truth. You know, you remember what they really are and where they really are, which is this perfect spirit, which is not a partial attribute. It's nothing less than God. And if you think of each other that way, you're both going to come to experience yourself that way. And so you can have your relationship and you can do normal things in the world. The only difference here is that you're looking at it differently. The Course calls it being above the battleground. You know, now you're above the battleground. You know, and it's like you're seeing it with the Holy Spirit. Now you're not stuck in it. And you can get to the point where it doesn't affect you. You know, you can get to the point where the world cannot hurt you, where the world cannot affect you. And, you know, in closing here, I wanted to point out that the Course also describes that as the message of the crucifixion. You know, the real message there was that Jesus was saying that what he really was could not be hurt, that he could not be killed, because he wasn't a body. And you can experience that even while you appear to be here. And if you complete your job of forgiveness and completely undo the ego, then that would mean by definition that there is no more unconscious guilt in your mind. It's been completely healed by the Holy Spirit. And when that job is complete, then, as the Course puts it, the guiltless mind cannot suffer. So if you complete that job, then it will literally be impossible for you to feel any physical pain. Because the physical pain that people feel is not really in the body. It's in the mind. And the body is just a projection that is coming from the mind. And if there's no guilt in the mind, then there is no pain. So when the Course talks about the end of suffering, it means that literally. You know, it's not just blowing smoke. It really means it. And that is the destiny that the Holy Spirit holds out for all of us. And, you know, for those of you who have read the book, I'd like to thank you for doing that. For those of you who haven't read the book, I hope that you will and that you'll enjoy it. And I've really enjoyed being here. And it's always a pleasure to talk with fellow course students. So keep practicing forgiveness, persevere, and you will have the result that the course is directed toward.